kind of the point I was wanting to make for the audience there is like, look, it's if you decide, hey, I want to go invest in a single family home. I want to own the whole thing. I don't want any partners. I don't want anyone else calling the shots. That's great. Okay. You're going to be a little more involved. You can talk with a company like Rent to Retirement who can do a lot of the day-to-day work for you. That is a smart play. But it is something you want to consider. Like, okay, well, you're like, oh man, I heard the Nashville housing market, just keep picking on Nashville. I heard the Nashville housing market was great. I'm going to go buy a house there. Well, okay. You are now going to go pay minimum $500,000, probably more like 6 or 7 for a rentable house. You're going to get that same kind of rent, probably $2,400, you know, in Nashville, maybe a little higher, but the ratio of rent to value, it's going to be so low, like less than 1%. You're just never going to cash flow. Right.
So when you're owning 100% of the asset, right? So this is really similar to, I mean, any real estate that you buy, unless you're bringing in partners, which you certainly can, you can bring in your own partners if you'd like to, or private money or whatever the case is. You know, we have a lot of people partnering with each other and doing different creative things, but you're 100% of the owner for the property, which means you ultimately at the end of the day have 100% of the responsibility. Even though we have management teams established to handle everything for you, like you're 100% responsible. It's your investment, right? That's your money. And in any investment you make, you have a responsibility, I think, to make sure that you're making smart investments, but you're 100% the owner, 100% control. You have 100% responsibility at the end of the day. You also get 100% of tax benefits and leverage opportunity, but you're the owner, right? And so you just, I think, need to think about that at the end of the day, if that's something that makes sense for you.
You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we're all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, Chad, the investment maverick.
All right. Real Estate Runway family, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sutton. We're here with my friend, Zach Leemaster from Rent to Retirement. He's the founder and CEO of that great company. Before we introduce him to the show and get into everything today, look, if you get any value out of this show, folks, or anything we produce here at Quattro Capital or Real Estate Runway, interact with it, like it, subscribe it, share it, pay it forward, folks. This is a free show. We don't charge for this content. The only way you can pay it forward and make sure someone else hears it is to share it, like it, subscribe it, interact with it, swipe it, whatever you're listening to, just do something to let the algorithm know you like it. All right. So Zach, welcome to the show today, brother. How are you doing this morning?
Chad, I'm doing exceptional, man. I'm excited to be here. How are you?
Doing wonderful. It's a little bit rainy here in Middle Tennessee today, so nice Friday morning, but I got a good workout in and heart's pumping, ready to go.
Good for you. Awesome.
Yep. So as we typically do, before we get into the main topic for today, which is going to be build to rent communities, let's introduce you to the show. So, like, you know, I know who you are. The audience does not. What do we need to know about Zach, how you became who you are today, how you got into build to rent? Give me the story.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So Chad, as many of us find ourselves in real estate, we come from a background that has nothing to do with real estate. And so absolutely the same case for me. My wife and I are both optometrists by education. You know, we started investing early in our lives and our professional career path. So we went to school in Oregon. I was on Air Force scholarship. So I joined the Air Force as a young captain, practiced optometry for 7 years, and then moved out to Colorado, where we still live. And we had private practices, but ultimately sold those and retired early in our lives from investing strategically in real estate in the different markets throughout the country where there was the best opportunity. The first house we purchased was when I was a captain in the Air Force, used a VA loan, bought a house, rented out. It was a duplex, rented out the other half. Absolutely love the concept. It's pretty simple. Simple math to do. And then I continued to invest. And that was about 15 years ago at this point. And every single year I have purchased more and more real estate. I haven't taken a single year off, regardless of what's happening in the market, politics, COVID, whatever. And I've just always found a way to continue to scale my portfolio. Chad, there was a very specific moment, a pivotal moment that changed the trajectory really of our lives and our business. And that's where we were able to understand how to invest strategically in areas outside of where we lived. We were a little bit more intentional on where we invested, where there's better opportunity, more growth factors, maybe more affordability. And so we learned how to invest out of state. There's many stumbling blocks with that. But eventually that was what allowed us to scale and really build a large portfolio to retire from our career path as doctors. And so that was the foundation of Rent to Retirement as well, which we're one of the nation's leading turnkey investment companies, where there is many people coming to us saying, hey, we see the success you're having in rental real estate. Can you like teach us what you're doing? Can we invest with you? And so that was really the path of our business, helping people to follow the same trajectory that we did with investing across the best locations throughout the US, where we already have the teams and systems to handle everything for them in building their own portfolio. Fast forward to where we're at today, we work across 12 different markets. We do about 1,000 doors a year in the Midwest and Southeast. And this is mainly new construction or rehabbing single family and small multifamily, where someone can come in and have easy access to buy those properties and add them to their own portfolio, where we handle everything for them. So that's the quickest version I can give you on our background.
That's a good one, man. And there's so many things to unpack there. So let's kind of go back to the beginning real quick on a few things there. This story sounds very similar to one of my business partners in Quattro, Dr. Erin Hudson, whom everyone on the show knows who she is. She's a wonderful lady. Insert the word chiropractor instead of optometrist, and you have a very similar story on you know, owning practices, operating them for a while, selling them. What ultimately kind of drove that decision? Because, I mean, obviously you went through and put a lot into that career and building those practices, but what ultimately kind of drove you to, you know, we're no longer going to operate these, we're going to focus solely in real estate?
Yeah, it's funny because I have a lot of colleagues and sometimes family members that will at this point, or when we first made the transition to full-time real estate, that approached me and said something along the lines of, oh, I'm glad that you found like your passion, or I'm glad that you, it's neat to see that you decided that you didn't enjoy healthcare or something like that. And that's funny because that was never the case. I'm very passionate about helping people see. I know that you guys are big on philanthropy, and one of our like humanitarian missions that we still do is setting up international cataract centers to help people see. And we still do that. And real estate has allowed us to like exponentially do more than we would have on our own. But really the thing is that like we started investing in rental real estate, and then we have a large portfolio, a high A-figure portfolio that net cash flows over seven figures annually now, but that took many, many years to get there. And what we found with real estate is just we're able to do more, right? It wasn't time associated with having to run the practice or be in the chair seeing patients. We were able to still practice because we're still licensed. We still do the volunteer aspect of it.
Sure.
But we just found that real estate had more opportunity, right? We were able to grow this business and do the healthcare thing, but not necessarily rely on it for income. And it was a slow transition. I mean, I was working at one point, especially as a young doc, working 7 days a week, and then as five, and then I slowly transitioned to like 3-2-1, and then eventually just ended up going full time. But it was a slow transition.
Yeah, so it's probably safe to say that, you know, during this transition, you're whatever your career is, you know, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or a engineer or, you know, a teacher, whatever it is that kind of creates your income, that it really becomes a strategic deployment of that income into these assets that eventually builds the cash flow. And over time, you start to see, wow, maybe my time is more valuable on this side of things than this side of things. And it sounds like you came to the realization that, well, gee, I'm still passionate about this, but I can do it in a way that makes me happy and helps more people by focusing on the holdings. So very interesting.
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing about real estate, Chad, I know you'll agree with me on this, but the simple fact that real estate, there's so many different ways to invest, right? And so many different things you can do, but it can start as a side hustle. You can develop it into a full-time business. You can be a passive investment. Just because we left our career path and chose to do this full-time does not mean that's right for everyone. You know, there's many people that want to continue their career path and they just want, and like many of your investors, right? They want to just a secure investment within real estate, but they love what they're doing and they want to continue to do that. And I just love that about real estate, right? It can be active, it can be passive. There's a lot of different ways to invest. And it really just depends on like your own individual goals and strategy. And then applying that, well, we know real estate is definitely a viable way to build wealth. You can participate it to any degree that you want to.
Yeah. And folks, that is why the private equity space is so great, because you know, there's a lot who have lost faith in the stock market or publicly traded securities or things of that sort. And you want to be able to call up the person running your investment and talk to them and know their character, know who their kids are, things of that sort. And, you know, I would say the vast majority of people do not do what Zach or I have done is eventually leave the corporate thing that you were so great at and go build this entrepreneurial real estate machine, which, you know, most people are going to come along and say, well, hey, let me invest in that because I really love being a lawyer. I really love being a teacher and I'm going to keep doing that. But I know that I need 5, 6, 7 income streams to really be secure. Right. So thanks for going down that rabbit hole with me a little bit, Zach. But let's come back to your business here. So kind of explain to the audience and myself here, when you say I am a turnkey real estate investment operator, like kind of walk through that process. What does one of your clients feel and what do you do for them?
Certainly. And turnkey is one of these buzzwords out there that is probably ill-defined. So thank you for giving me the time to define it for your audience. And so our mission statement is to make the best investment opportunities across the nation accessible to everyone and do that in a manner where we're handling all the operational components for them. And so we are actually providing people with like physical assets that they're actually buying. So this is where turnkey would maybe differ from, say, syndication to some degree or something where we're not like raising capital to do a value add on a larger project. Like we're helping people build their individual portfolio where you're owning 100% of the asset and you're building, we're giving you some guidance on how to build your own portfolio. And we try to do it in somewhat of a passive, we use the term passive somewhat loosely. We all know that there's no such thing as like full, truly passive income because you always need to monitor your money, right? You need to know who you're, there's some due diligence, at least with where you're placing your money. And, but on the spectrum of actual physical property ownership, this is probably more on the spectrum of passive nature. So a lot of our investors are like, we just talked about high paid professionals. They want to own rental real estate. They want to use leverage and get the tax benefits and et cetera, but they don't necessarily want to be in there managing the property. So we have local teams. We identify some of the best locations throughout the country based on things like landlord friendly legislation, low taxes, future population, economic growth, diversity of industries, you know, high rental ranges relative to home prices, et cetera, et cetera. And then we build our teams and systems in those areas composed of lenders, property managers, and things where someone can come in and actually buy a property that we will lease and manage for them so they can easily scale and diversify their portfolio over time. Maybe you live in an expensive market where your local real estate isn't accessible or is too expensive, doesn't make sense if you're a busy professional and you want to own rental real estate. This is an easy way for you to immediately tap into different markets throughout the country where there's different investing opportunities. And that kind of goes back to my initial point, like this was learning to invest out of state and strategically choosing the locations where it was more conducive to our goals is really what allowed us to scale quicker than we would just focusing on our local market. So that's kind of the process. If someone comes in, I mean, because this is really your question, so I apologize for getting sidetracked, but if someone's interested, like we set up an initial consultation with them, we talk about their investing goals, their strategy. Usually like turnkey rentals or real estate ownership is one component of their overall investment strategy. And then we help to build out a plan on what type of markets fit their goals, identify properties in those markets where we have teams established, and then go through the process of buying the property. So normal real estate purchase, having appraisals, inspections, et cetera, closing on the property, having management manage it, and then, you know, focusing on how you scale if that's your goal.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And folks, it's important to reiterate here that this is yet another way to invest passively in real estate, or like as Zach said, semi-passively. I don't believe any real estate is truly passive, but from the IRS definition, it is passive income. You're not trading your time for money. That's where passive income comes from. But this is yet another way to invest in real estate, whereas what Team Quattro does is, you know, we all group together in a fund or a syndication and say, okay, let's go raise $10 million. Let's buy a $25 million apartment building. We're going to go instill a value add plan on your behalf. You're going to own a piece of that. So you kind of own a fraction of that building. What Zach is talking about here is like, hey, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. You're going to buy the building. And so these are by nature not going to be typically a $25 million apartment building. It's going to be a house or a small multi or something of similar like that. We'll let Zach talk about what property types they manage, but he's got in 12 different markets, the management teams, the construction teams, the vendors, the infrastructure, the management infrastructure, marketing, all that stuff that you need to really run a property. And so you're basically, again, he's going to help you buy the property. You're going to own the whole property. Like it's just you, yourself and you, and then they're going to operate it for you. So correct anything I may have just said there, Zach, but, and maybe kind of go into what sorts of properties that are kind of typical down the fairway for rent to retirement.
Yeah, you did an excellent explanation, Chad. Much better than I did. So thank you for clarifying that.
But you know, I'm just a big proponent that people have to hear things. We need to hear things the same way or different ways over and over again to truly understand them. So forgive me for repeating everything you just said, but it helps me understand as well.
Certainly, that was great. So as far as like the typical properties, I mean, we mainly focus on we only focus on residential. It's mainly single family, small multifamily, and from time to time we'll have, you know, mid-sized multifamily, usually in the 20 units or under. But the big focus is 4 units and under, and single family houses. We love residential in a single family space because, you know, it's just very predictable. And there's a housing crisis. I just gave a presentation yesterday to the Bigger Pockets community, and we talked about like a housing shortage. Of what type of housing shortage do we have in the U.S.? And it's the worst we've ever seen. We have 7.2 million. We have an undersupply of 7.2 million houses in the U.S. to fulfill the demand that we have. And a lot of these are located southeast, just as that's where the population is growing. And so we want to be in those type of areas where we can produce housing. And we mainly focus on new construction. We love new construction because you have a brand new built house. You have very predictable type of income. You have less maintenance, less capital expenditures, attract better quality tenants. You have excellent financing. That is something we might be interesting to talk about how financing works as well, because there's some exciting dynamic things happening right now. But we mainly focus on single family houses or small multi where someone can come in and just create a predictable type of investment portfolio that they're owning. They're getting 100% of the benefit from. A couple of the creative things that we work with that I think is a little bit of our secret sauce, but I think is interesting that we're seeing, especially right now, is we have a lot of people that are investors. They maybe own a handful of properties, or maybe this is their first property, which is completely fine. But they are high income earners, and they're trying to really reduce their tax liability. And so we really try to tailor it towards the person's goals, where we can assist someone with taking max tax benefits. For example, even though we have property management in place, and we do mainly long-term rentals, but we also have short-term rentals and mid-term rentals available as well. But in some instances, we maybe have someone who's a high paid professional, and they're like, well, I'm not going to qualify as RE Pro. I don't have a bunch of properties. I have my full-time job. Well, maybe there's an opportunity for them to come in and actually self-manage a short-term rental with our guidance and resources, but they're managing it, getting the material participation, where maybe they could take accelerated depreciation. We're on a $300,000, you know, new construction house. They are self-managing it for the first year. They get whatever the accelerated depreciation is, $80,000 to $100,000 of accelerated depreciation goes off immediately off their active income without being a real estate professional. Right now, since we have excellent tax benefits available, especially if the 100% bonus comes back as it should, and then they're able to really accelerate their tax benefits. And we also have some creative financing options where people can put like as little as 5% down. I think that's a big thing with buying rental real estate. There's probably a little bit more risk involved versus, you know, maybe if we want to compare like a syndication potential. I think when you're buying your own rental real estate, it's more involved. I would certainly agree it's more active, even though you have management in place. There's probably maybe a little bit more higher risk there as well. There's just more working parts, but you also have the ability to leverage and put down a small percentage to own 100% of the asset. So we have some creative lenders out there that will do as little as like 5% down on multiple investment properties. So those, I just wanted to mention a couple of creative ways that we help work with people on like building their own portfolio.
Yeah. And that's, you kind of highlighted it there. I mean, there's a lot of the moving parts are the same between like going into a syndication versus owning your own piece of real estate turnkey. The main difference is ownership and control, right? With what Zach is talking about, you own the asset. Now you're going to be a little more involved in the transaction and the money flow, and, you know, probably have to watch the books and things. So it's not going to be totally hands-off. I mean, they're going to do the day-to-day work for you, which is very important because you do, like, as an investor, you do not want to be the one plumbing the toilet, getting the late night calls. Like, it is the worst way to own real estate, and you will never live up to the expectation of the resident. So let a company that knows how to do that. But it's just a different way. You are in full control. It is your portfolio. You will grow probably at a similar rate. I mean, you're just going to own less real estate, but you're going to own all of that real estate, right? So it works out about the same. So Zach, I want to get in the weeds for a second, if you don't mind. So let's go here for just a second. You mentioned, you know, the kind of the southeastern regions, which would make sense. It's where a lot of the growth is. And let me qualify a question real quick. Are you guys building the assets and then selling them to the client, or are you helping them find assets from someone else that is the builder?
We have our internal inventory. And so it's not like someone's like, oh, I want to invest in this market. You know, so these are ground up new construction houses that are already in progress. There's a limited inventory of them in a specific area that we've identified, like, hey, this is an area where there's opportunity. Yeah.
Okay, good. So this is kind of my qualifier then. Just living in the Southeast, there's a lot of areas in the Southeast where, like, let's take Nashville, Tennessee proper, where I live. It does not usually make sense to rent a house as a builder. Like, it does not make sense to build a house to rent instead of building it to sell, because I mean, the income method of valuation for what rent it's going to command is nowhere near what someone's going to pay just to live in the thing, right? So how do you, you know, and this is important for the investor too, who's listening. So perk your ears up on this one. But how does Zach and his company figure out, where do I want to build these assets to where it's going to be more profitable or equally profitable to rent rather than to just sell it? Because that's kind of the whole premise of what you do, is it makes more sense to rent than to sell, right?
Yeah, and there's two sides of this, Chad. Yeah. There's like our business side, because we do sell some retail, but we really like working with investors because it allows us to have consistent sales and also reverse engineer like our business model as well. Selling, being a builder, selling to retail clients is one of the most challenging things to do, because retail clients, there's a lot of working. It's a lot of work to sell to a retail client, even if you can possibly yield a little bit higher on the exit. And it's not predictable. Retail markets fluctuate significantly,
as we're seeing right now.
perfect example. A lot of builders are sitting on inventory right now, and guess what? They have you know, their construction loans that are coming due, or they're double the rate they were 2 years ago. You know what I mean? So selling to investors is a real predictable. I came into this business as an investor, though, so that's just always a mindset we've shared. Now the other side is from the investor side. To your exact point, like, some areas it wouldn't make sense to, it just doesn't make sense to invest in, because house prices are so high and rents are not as high where you can actually cash flow unless you're putting, you know, 40% down or whatever the case is.
Right.
So we like areas, we specifically try to focus in areas where we can get at least an 8 to 10% cash on cash return. That's just the cash flow, considering a conventional loan with 20% down. That's kind of our target metric. So the typical price points, and our inventory is always on our website to run numbers on, but typical price points is about like $300,000 for brand new construction house. That could vary, 250, 350. So call it $300,000, where the house is going to rent at $2,400 a month. So we know if we're putting 20% down, even at a 6 or 7% interest rate or whatever. And we are buying rates down. Like, that's one thing a lot of builders are doing right now, is buying rates down for people to get rates going or move inventory. So we'll buy the rate down to like 5% or whatever. But anyways, it allows you to still have, say, a decent return on investment. But we really try to be in areas that are below the median house price point. So for single family, median house price point, I think, is $408,000 right now. And we try to be well below that, both nationally and for that geographic area, because that gives us the largest pool of tenant demographics as well as retail buyers. And so focusing on those, like, these aren't low income areas, these are still nice areas, but just the lower tier of price points allows you a lot more runway, I think, for growth and things like that. We like to be in areas where we also see rent appreciation as well as home appreciation. A lot of the southeastern markets, even over the past 2 years with the dynamic interest rates, have still seen quite a bit of rent and home appreciation while the rest of the nation is fluctuating in rents, especially right now. So those are the areas we focus on.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you went through both sides of that. And kind of the point I was wanting to make for the audience there is, like, look, if you decide, hey, I want to go invest in a single family home, I want to own the whole thing, I don't want any partners or anyone else calling the shots, that's great. Okay. You're going to be a little more involved. You can talk with a company like Rent to Retirement, who can do a lot of the day-to-day work for you. That is a smart play. But it is something you want to consider, like, okay, well, you're like, oh man, I heard the Nashville housing market, just keep picking on Nashville. I heard the Nashville housing market was great. I'm going to go buy a house there. Well, okay. You are now going to go pay minimum $500,000, probably more like 6 or 7 for a rentable house. You're going to get that same kind of rent, probably $2,400, you know, in Nashville, maybe a little higher, but the ratio of rent to value, it's going to be so low, like less than 1%. You're just never going to cash flow. Right. And so what Zach and his team are doing strategically, and this is probably this kind of, and it's in the background and kind of an assumed thing you kind of don't have to worry about. So I guess the trick would be look at a company like Rent to Retirement, watch where they're investing, and like, okay, it probably makes sense that they have dialed in the rent to value ratios. Right. But you really don't want to go into a market where the market dynamics are right, but the values are so much higher than what the rents could support, because you're never going to get anywhere, and further, you're going to be upside down pretty quickly if something turns the wrong way on rent. So just that was a little bit of a segue and a soapbox, but Zach, if you have anything to add, feel free.
Yeah, you know. Chad, perfect. Perfect way to think about it, because sometimes when you start thinking about investing for yourself in different markets, it's overwhelming. It's daunting because they're like, there's so many markets and this person is talking about this market, or you hear this on the media, like, oh, this is a growing area, but there's so much more to be conscious of to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success. But just on a few statistical points nationwide, since this is fresh in my mind, one metric we looked at yesterday was, you know, there's both an affordability crisis and a supply crisis in the nation. And it's geographically dependent. Different areas are worse off than others, but the average, the U.S., the average affordability for the average household, I think, is something like 260,000 to 270,000. Then we looked at the total availability of inventory of new construction, total availability of single family and small multifamily houses, so residencies for people. There is like 47%, almost 50%. The availability for houses for people looking to purchase are above $500,000. And only 15% of the availability of housing solutions are below that affordability area. So at $300,000 or below is the threshold we look at. There's only 15% of availability. And so not only is there a supply shortage, but there's also an extreme affordability crisis right now in the US. And so that just being conscious about that, there's a huge demand if you can work in that lower tier area, right? And that's also means that there's more tenants and likely renters in areas where you're not going to have that supply. So those are just some interesting trends to think about nationwide, and also drives our decision-making, not just running the numbers, but overall like a macroeconomic scale of which type of locations that we want to be focused on.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so let's kind of transition to the investor side of this a little bit, Zach, if you don't mind. So just give me a rundown really quick. So as an investor, I'm looking at Rent to Retirement or a similar company that's more on the turnkey operator side, where I'm going to buy my own property instead of the syndication side, where I'm going to buy into a large property. What are the typical responsibilities that the company Rent to Retirement would provide versus what is going to be expected out of the investor? Because this is, and again, just for baseline comparison, if you're the type who wants to just sign paperwork and be done, that is the syndication world. You're going to do nothing. You're going to sign paperwork, wire money, and that's it, right? But on this side, you're going to have all control. You're going to own the total asset, but more will be expected of you. So let's make sure we kind of go through that and help them understand, like, okay, what if I think I want to do this, and that's my resolve, you know, where can I expect the company to step in, and where do I need to be prepared to you know, perform?
Excellent points, Chad. So when you're owning 100% of the asset, right? So this is really similar to, I mean, any real estate that you buy, unless you're bringing in partners, which you certainly can. You can bring in your own partners if you'd like to, or private money, or whatever the case is. You know, we have a lot of people partnering with each other and doing different creative things, but you're 100% of the owner for the property, which means you ultimately, at the end of the day, have 100% of the responsibility, even though we have management teams established to handle everything for you. Like, you're 100% responsible. It's your investment, right? That's your money. And in any investment you make, you have a responsibility, I think, to make sure that you're making smart investments. But you're 100% the owner, 100% control. You have 100% responsibility at the end of the day. You also get 100% of the tax benefits and leverage opportunity, but you're the owner, right? And so you just, I think, need to think about that at the end of the day, if that's something that makes sense for you. You certainly can set it up so it can be generally passive. Usually the most time intensive aspect of this is when we work with investors is really like going through the process of building out what your investment strategy is and going through the financing. Financing, it's a pain in the butt, man, just qualifying for loans again and again, like, but it's part of the necessary aspect if you want to use leverage, that is, you know, going through financing, that's usually the most time intensive part, but that's important to make sure that you have clear vision on what markets do you want to invest in. Most of our investors, they're diversifying across, you know, a handful of different markets and building, you know, they're owning multiple properties within a market for economies of scale, but they're also diversifying in a few different markets to give you some geographic diversity and take advantage of different moving markets. I think that might be a benefit too, right? Is the ability to easily diversify in multiple areas, but still have it, you know, the goal is to have an overlying managerial structure where the day-to-day operations are handled for you, but you still need to, we always hear about this, you know, you always need to manage your property manager. And that's certainly true, right? Make sure that they're operating appropriately and doing what they need to do. And if that relationship fails, or, you know, you don't have a good experience with them, you know, we certainly have systems in our, with our business to assist you with either self-managing, if that's what you want to do, like we talked about short-term route, or if you want to do a different managerial route, like we'll assist you with that, but you got to be conscious of that. Like you're running your own business in that degree, but you can set it up so you can operate, you don't have to be in the day-to-day operations. That's really what I compare owning rental real estate and whatever facet you're doing is you're operating a business. I truly believe that. And so you can either be an operator in your business, or if you read the E-Myth by Michael Gerber and try to be more of the, like, you know, the owner of the business and have all the operational components, you certainly can go that route as well. But that's my best comparison, is operating a business. And I believe that's what you're doing when you're owning real estate.
That's 100% true. And I mean, having 147 entities, I can attest to every one of them as their own business, right? But so to be very clear on the delineation, you know, you guys are going to help provide the inventory. You're going to help walk through the sales process, although the buyer has to perform. You're going to manage the asset, market the asset, repair the asset, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes, like, Lynn, let's just think about the business itself. So let's say you buy the house in an LLC or some other similar entity that you choose to trust. You, the buyer, are going to be responsible for compliance of that entity, you know, filing taxes. I would venture to assume your company is going to handle things like paying insurance and property tax, but, you know, along with the expenses. But, you know, you may be involved as the owner in placing the insurance. You may have to deal with the county a little bit. So it's going to be more of that ownership role, which again is manageable. This is not a 24/7 job. The management would be taken care of for you. That makes a lot of sense. You know, I don't usually ask this question, but any final thoughts? I feel like you can handle that one. That's usually an open-ended question.
Oh man, there's so much, Chad. And just to clarify your last point, you know, our goal is to help you build the business. That's really when I think about turnkey, it's not just, oh, you're buying a property in a good location where someone else is managing it and helping go through all the steps. Like we're helping people build businesses. We have real estate specific attorneys and CPAs in all the states. If you want to use them, you certainly don't have to. We have different creative financing options for people. If you need to go down, like we talked about, doing some of the accelerated depreciation and taking, if you're a high income earner and can't qualify for RE Pro, but you want to go through one of those like short term route, like we have the people to assist you in strategizing around that. So you're not completely on your own. But yeah, I think final thoughts is just that there's so many different things that you can do in rental real estate. I always feel like, and I am biased because I'm hyper focused on real estate investing, but I'm very diverse across real estate investing. And like we talked about in the beginning, real estate can really be, there's so many different ways to invest. It's just up to you to decide what makes the most sense for you. Even if you've had a bad experience in the past with property ownership, that doesn't necessarily mean every property that you purchase is going to be a bad experience. You know, it's just, I would encourage people, 2024, there's a very dynamic year. I think now is a exceptional opportunity to make moves, you know, especially coming out of a year where we've had a little bit of stagnation or correction in rents and different, you know, different markets. Like now is the time to take action, especially as we likely see interest rates dropping in the future, an election year, like all the things. do not be a person that waits for the right time to invest, right? We always hear the cliche saying it's time in the market, not time in the market. So my encouragement to people is to take action, do something, invest this year early on to get in while you have the best buying opportunity, because there's certainly things right now, you know, that are available that won't be later this year. And I think there's going to be more competition. We're already seeing that start to change. So that's hopefully a little bit of words of motivation for people.
Yeah. And folks, it's all supply and demand. And that this is where the wisdom of, you know, be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy, or don't follow the herd, right? When supply is less than demand, i.e. the herd is buying houses, okay, that's when you're going to have the hardest time getting a good buy. When supply is high and the herd is low, i.e. you're walking in the opposite direction of the cow herd, right? Well, that's probably going to be a better buy. So that's where all these sayings come from. It's just supply and demand. So, all right, Zach, let's go do the Quattro questions, and then we'll let you get back to running rent to retirement. All right?
Let's do it.
All right. So first question of the day, what is your superpower and how does it help you in life and business?
I always tell our team that we're not in the real estate business. We're in the communication business. And yeah. So my superpower has always been communication and empathy. And I carry my bedside manner from the healthcare world into our real estate world, which I found to be kind of rare. But I think that if you're a good communicator, that has certainly served me well in building relationships. This is a relationship business, hands down.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And folks, relationships and reputation are all you have in life. That's it. So let's flip the coin over. What is your biggest failure? Could be life or business. And what did you learn from it, most importantly?
Well, we could do an entire show on failure, and that comes along with real estate investing. So probably my second superpower is just tenacity, going like anyone that's successful has all the failures before them, right? Is being able to overcome those is what allows you to be successful and then help other people not make those. But I would say the biggest mistake we've made, unfortunately, in business has been to form bad partnerships with people and, you know, probably marry them before dating, right? And so it's partnerships is huge. I am a big advocate for partnerships because it allows you to do more than you could on your own. Perfect example is like partnering with you guys, Chad, who own large real estate deals, but, you know, making sure you form the right partnerships, because the wrong partnerships can be rather dramatic. And I hear that all the time too, from business owners that are like 40 years into a business, they're like unwinding their partnership. So we've definitely had some 7-figure mistakes with wrong partners, but have learned from that.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself. And it's you use the marriage analogy, which I love when people do that, because that's really what it is. A partnership in business is like a marriage, but it's a lot harder to get out of. The divorce is not as easy as it is. And you know how hard divorce is on just a marriage. So, yeah. Okay, we'll leave that one right there, folks. So going to question number three, you know, this is the time in the show when I love to let our guests give a shameless plug, a gift, you know, something that you want to promote here on the show that will add value to the audience. So what is that for you guys?
If anyone has interest in learning about different markets around the U.S., has interest to learn about turnkey investing, new construction, whatever the case is, some of the unique creative financing options we talked about, we'd be happy to share those. Just visit our website. That's renttoretirement.com, renttoretirement.com. If you're listening to this in the car, to get on our email dispo list, you can text REI to 33777. And we'd be happy to set up a consultation. We don't charge investors anything to work with them. You know, we make our money by like building the houses and selling them. But we have a lot of real estate calculators, financing options. You know, we have our own podcast and YouTube channel to put out a lot of information and market data, and we'd be happy to share that with anyone.
All right. Thanks for that, Zach. And last one. And by the way, if you don't want to text and drive, folks, just scroll down when you get stopped. This will be in the show notes for your clicking pleasure, both the text number he just mentioned and the website. So be safe while you're driving. And last one, Zach, on this show, we love to support philanthropic ventures, philanthropy. It is one of our four pillars, after all: people, property, profits, and philanthropy, coming back and taking care of people. So that is the Quattro way. Where is your heart, man? What do you give your time, your talents, your treasures to? And, you know, sometimes we find our audience giving on your behalf. So what is that for you?
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And I think that's so important. It's interesting, Chad, because I know you agree with me 100% on this. I see this in your business. But, you know, when you build a large business, especially in real estate, you can actually make a bigger impact and do more. And that's been a big driving factor for us. I mentioned this early on, but like, you know, we started, my wife and I, in healthcare, in eye care specifically. That's been a passion to help people see. You know, there's a lot of people that are blind in this world that don't have to be. And so a big portion of our business proceeds and our mission is to end preventable blindness in third world countries, both by providing children with eye care to see that don't have access to regular eye care, as well as cataract surgery, because everyone gets cataracts. It's just a matter of time. And that's the easiest way to allow you to see and continue your life at a high quality of life. And so we develop eye clinics and cataract surgery centers internationally, and that's what we'll continue to do. So if you are interested in that, you certainly can contact us. Not real estate related, but that is a big part of our passion project as well.
Yeah. So folks, again, look in the show notes, contact them through the website. And, you know, if that is your passion, I know we've had a few optometrists on this show. If you're listening here or that is your passion, you know, helping people who need this, check it out. So thank you for sharing your heart, Zach. I really appreciate that. So folks, this has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway. Zach, thank you for coming on, sharing your heart, sharing your business, sharing another way to invest passively in real estate. Really appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, wrapping it up. This has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway podcast. Until next time, over and out.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com and scroll down for more info. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway podcast.